Hey, everybody, this is Lizzie Hale.
What's up, everybody? This is RJ Hale from the band Hailstorm, and I think something smells fishy.
You are listening to My Man Fish right here on Music City Metal.
What's up? This is Ryan Lessard from Chemical Rose, and you're listening to Music City Metal.
You're listening to Music City Metal.
You are about to enter the Electric Fishbowl with DJ Fish. We are metal. We are family.
Music City Metal, Fish in the Electric Fishbowl again, doing all my appearances virtually. Jamie McCavanaugh from iDragonEye. Tonight, we're going to go backwards. Gosh, is it 15 years almost?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you were working on it 15 years ago. It came out 05, 06.
Yeah. 06. Yeah, it was something like that.
We are talking about iDragonEye. It was kind of like a side project from split off from Wedding Party, which you and I can go way back on the history there. And I mean, this year it'll be 22 years since we met, man.
That's
I was thinking
crazy.
About that earlier before I called.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Back in the Wedding Party days, Jamie McCavanaugh in Murfreesboro, just down the road a piece actually, but appearing virtually. And, I would say you and Pastor Bob were the two instrumental reasons why I ended up living here, why I ended up moving here.
Well,
had you and I never met with, well, this was obviously with the entire band Wedding Party.
Yeah.
And got it as engaged as we did early on, and me to come down so quickly after we met that summer in 98.
Right.
I don't, you know, who knows? Came down here that we met in July, came down in October of 98. And by spring of the next year, I was here. Moved
wow,
here.
Wow, yeah. That's,
yeah. It's a pretty
big
deal.
Some of it seems like yesterday, and some of it seems like, like.
Right.
What happened?
Yeah. Limited edition. You worked your butt off on, I mean, you worked your ass off on that album for years.
Yeah.
Get putting that together. I mean, not only doing the recording, but playing the guitar, but doing the mixing, all of it. You did it all, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. It was just had, you know, have somebody come in here and there to play a certain instrument or whatever. And, but it was, yeah, it was quite a labor of love. It was actually, so the limited edition, and one of the reasons why it's called that is because that it is meant to be an entire full length, but some of the story needed to be released first. And all the other material on the full length, much heavier, it's got a lot more, the limited edition is really a set of the more mellow, more dramatic parts of the story. And it just seemed right for it to be done this way.
This album was special to me in a big way. And I know you know that because of the timing and listening to, I mean, Will, his words, Will William Knight, my goodness, the way he writes lyrics, he's good at it. I mean, Jim Morrison level writer, correct?
Yeah.
And
yeah, that good?
Very poetic, very intense. And then you take that, you guys were so well at working together, both on Wedding Party and this project, in the sense that you would take his incredibly deep and powerful words and make it huge, make it big, intense, just intense music. The strength of the message, I mean, all of it. It's a pretty timeless thing you guys created. Cool thing is, there's 30 of them sitting out in Mary's office right down the hall here. Because you recently found some.
It did.
I mean, you did. Well, how many did you initially print? Like 1,000, right?
Yeah, there were 1,000, and that was really what it was going to be, because the full length, we were going to go full board, you know, however many we needed to do, but limited edition had to be exactly what it said. And
that was it.
Yeah.
Well, there's 30 left, so you've sold 970 of them. 30 of them are right down the hall. And after you listen to this music, you want to check it out. And would you would like to buy a copy of Limited Edition, visit sanctuaryinternational.com/merch and check it out. Get a copy of Limited Edition. We have 30 of them left. We sold a few. You found like a couple of sleeves, apparently. And we put them up on Sanctuary's website. Go check it out. And in the meantime, buy some coffee, too, and help out Pastor Bob's ministry. Back to the album. I have a song that I want to play, and there's an interesting story behind it, because you and I have been friends a long time, and there were a couple of times we had ups and downs in our relationship going through the years. And right around this time, when the album came out, was one of those times. I was really up to my neck in the worst part of my addiction, in the time when we weren't hanging out and weren't talking so much. And I don't really know the reason why, other than part of it was that I became very reclusive doing, you know, what I was up to my neck into at the time.
Right. And my son was being born, my firstborn.
Yeah, your first. Yeah, Brendan.
Yeah.
Gosh, man. Boy, when you say that, it makes it feel like a long time ago, since he's like taller than you now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Back to
been wailing away at the guitar too, man. He's gonna surpass me beyond, you know, which I'm very excited about.
Oh yeah, extremely. And I like who his influences are right now too.
Oh sure.
Yeah, playing Tool and all that.
Yeah.
But when you guys were putting this album together, 04, 05, came out in 06, I believe, early 06, that was when I kind of hit my bottom. I mean, when I say hit bottom, was chased by police. I was in jail. This was all stemming from my OxyContin addiction, and really hit the lowest part I had ever gotten to in my life. And I left jail and went right to rehab. It wasn't just rehab. And it wasn't just a song. There were a lot of things at play, but this was a major part, and this was the interesting thing. And the song that we're going to play is "Death of a Century," and it's a mellow song. And some people might say, "Oh, he's playing a song about death right now with what's going on in the world." And the interesting thing, and this is why I'm choosing this. When I was in rehab, one of the exercises that we had to do is we had to write a letter to our addiction. And then we had to crumple it up, and they literally had a coffin in the room. And it was basically like for you to grieve the loss of your drug of choice, that you were saying goodbye to it and putting it to death, in a sense, that there was a death that had to happen for you to truly get over addiction. I can remember that day. I don't remember exactly what I wrote. It really doesn't matter what I wrote, but I did that exercise, and that was really an emotional. It was a moment in my life that I'll never forget. Mm. You know, the words that were put on the paper really don't matter, but there really was something that had happened that day that was a really big moment. And then I get out of rehab, and as I mentioned, spent some time in jail, and my mom was there, and she had met with you, and she handed me the disc, the CD, limited edition. She's like, "God, did you know that they did this?" And I remember listening to it, and "Death of a Century" came on, and I had to pull over driving. And it was so intense. I don't know. I guess we'll just let the music speak for itself. And following up to what I just shared, and made myself really vulnerable telling the world here something about myself. But anyways, it's truth. You know, it was really impactful, and it even drove home what I had done just a few weeks prior to that, that I really made a decision that this, although I didn't, I still went back to drugs several times over that last decade, but
but
I had a different mindset, that I knew that this was something in my life that you had to mourn, you had to put to death. And it was a flesh thing,
right?
You know, in the sense. And, but I also realized and you know, right now I know there is, you know, there's some things going on. I don't know how to tie this together, dude, man. I really didn't want to go down the road of what was happening right now, but it's kind of important in a little bit of a sense, so maybe I'll let you jump in and wherever you feel. But anyways, pause for a second, get out of my thoughts. So that is my story, and that is the song I'm going to pick. What are your memories of how that, you know, putting that song together? And then we'll play it, come out and talk again. And then you chose a song from Limited Edition. So,
well, I will say, like, each one of the songs in that in that album is not one of those things, or each one of them are not without some crazy story and some awful or great thing. And this one in particular, Death of a Century, was very, well, when you hear it, I mean, understand that there's a lot of, well, we wanted to, there be to be sorrow and happiness and, you know, some type of great resolve through great challenge. I mean, if anybody's ever heard of Pilgrim's Progress, you know,
Pilgrim's Progress?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's very similar to something like that, where, you know, you go through great adversaries or great trials. And in the end, you know, no matter what, we're going to pass away. But at the end, what did you really... You really want to be a champion of your life, or okay, we're gonna have to erase some.
Yeah,
of
that's okay. No, just say redo. I just
redo. So I just got lost for a second there, and I'm sorry.
That's okay. Mark it.
But you'll notice with the lyrics that this was a great fight, and it was a battle in a lifetime, and I think one of the reasons why it's been so impactful, because everybody can put themselves in that place of battling through life, and that you're trying your absolute best, whether you're doing a good job or not, you want to make it through. And so many people quit ahead of schedule.
Yes.
And ahead of time, because they don't really realize at the end of it, you just got to push through. So there's a type of warrior mentality, there's a type of a champion at the end, but it doesn't mean, you know, that those things that become being a champion and being a warrior ends up being because you went through. And it's not, and yeah, maybe. And things have to die. Things have to die in your life. They have to die because you can't go any further without a dying. You know, notice that, you know, when the lyrics, and you'll be able to tell from when this happens, but there's peace. There's peace. Once you die, once you let those things die that need to die, there's peace on the end of it. And in a good life, you start to see what actually matters.
Well, if you follow us on the Instagram page, you're going to see a collage of Raven tattoos, and that was the wedding party logo. One of those tattoos are mine. One of those are yours on there. One of them is Jacob's, and I'm hoping to get
Jay's too.
Jay's, that's right. So there's a collection of Raven tattoos, which is the logo for wedding party, was the logo for wedding party, and now Drag and I. Visit sanctuarynational.com/merch. And coming up after Jamie and I wrap up doing this I Drag and I stuff, Mary Fish is going to come in, and that'll be coming up later in this episode. But right now, going back to 2006, off the limited edition CD, this is Death of a Century by I Drag and I.
For those about to die, we salute you. Thank you.
You could never cry. They'll say he had a good life.
Oh, what an ending there, brother. Music City Metal Fish.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff, man. Every time I get chills every time I hear it. Will's voice.
Yeah.
That man's voice.
I remembered something, and just listening to that. And there's no, like I said earlier, that there was no song in this album that wasn't without a great story, whether tragic or whether good. And this one in particular, when we were, well, the ending part there,
yes,
just like right before the ending, that was, well, no, right before all that, before the orchestration and everything, there's that break point. And we had, Will and I were at each other's throats at this time. And, I'm working.
You guys?
Yeah. No.
Never.
So, how musicians are. And I was at the helm. So there's a lot of work that I have to do in the studio. And I'm trying to get this thing done. And we were so discouraged. And I was like, I don't know what to do with the end of this. And he got pissed off and he took off. And, we were to the point, upset to the point of tears. I mean, we were mad. I mean, angry. We love each other, but this is a brutal, brutal thing that we're trying to close in on, because we had a show coming up and we had to get it done and have the album pressed as soon as possible. And so he leaves and I'm just in the studio. I put my head down and I'm like, God, I can't do this, man. Jeez. It's like, it's too difficult. It's too difficult. I don't know what to do. And I just, just broke down and then wiped the tears from my eyes and just pressed record and started writing the parts. Everything you hear was 5 minutes.
Wow.
At the ending. And it's because, and here's the thing, if there's anything I could tell anyone, especially during this time, is everybody's going to be all right. Everybody's going to be all right. It's just, things look scary. Things don't look great right now. They don't. They look grim and they look awful. And you think, oh, the only thing ahead is death. No, wrong. It's not true. You just got to get through this. The world is ours, and that's a true thing.
That's it.
It's a true thing.
There's some truth right there. I'm with you side by side on that, and I know you know that. There is another story that goes along with Savior, and I'm going to let you tell it. I mean, you just heard an amazing voice, Will, and an orchestration arrangement that you did. Steve Casto, who's in Crusade, and a lot of you in the local scene here know who they are, who Steve Casto is in Crusade. He played bass on that album. But this song, Savior, do you want to talk about with the bullet in Will's chest, or should we leave that out?
The thing is that, yeah, this particular song, it's Savior spelt in the German way. And reason being is that goes way back to a band called Savior Machine that we were friends with. And it was kind of a little ode to them, just a little hat tip to him,
Brother Eric Clayton.
Yeah,
Eric Clayton in the Nine, new stuff out there.
That's right.
If you want to go do some digging, find out where these places came from.
Yeah, well, we were good friends, and he had actually produced our first album and stuff, but this in particular, see, Will is he got shot in the chest. And just a bullet right above his heart. And
the bullet's still there. The bullet is still there, too, is it not?
Yeah, it's in the back of his rib cage.
Yeah, right between his heart and his lung. And he's singing like that.
Yeah.
I just had to mention that. It's still there.
Yeah. Well, see, a lot of people thought, what's with the distorted voice? And that was actually natural distortion. And why I kept it that way, and I don't. We are artists. I don't care what anybody actually thinks about it. What it meant to us is the fact that this guy was able to get on the microphone and sing, Now, take in mind, he had a very, very powerful voice to begin with.
Oh, yeah, when we no did kidding. The, when
we,
you had to crank
when we did the wedding, yeah, when we did the Wedding Party album, he broke the diaphragm of some yeah. of the microphones.
That's Will.
And one of them he broke, he was about 6 feet away, and the thing just poof.
Yeah.
And we're talking a nice, nice studio that we were in, and that was a $6,000 mic. So, anyways, he gets shot in the chest.
2002.
Yeah.
Because I was at a wedding. I was DJing a wedding in Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call from Brother Gary Ireton.
Yeah.
The day that that happened.
Yeah. And he clipped his lung, collapsed his lung. And to be honest with you, because of the surgeries and things, he had to have this very painful surgery. They had to scrape his lung and do all kinds of terrible things. There was not a good future for singing when it came to this guy. So it was almost, it was quite tragic.
It was that he was going to live. I mean, he was in a coma
Correct.
Quite a
yeah,
while.
It was a touch and go. Yeah.
And one of the other songs on the album referenced that coma as well. So I'm just trying to get people to bite and order the rest of this.
Yeah.
I mean, that there is an entire song, I believe, I See You.
Yep.
Was
yeah, I
his
see you.
Memories
yeah,
of his coma after he got shot.
Yeah, just him being, all the voices being heard while he, around him while he's in the state of just touch and go. I was in the ICU unit for a good 2 to 3 weeks. Wondering whether this guy's going to make it or not. And, you know, because things look fairly good, but with this type of a gunshot in particular, things could go south real, real fast because there's that main artery that comes out of the heart that's right on top there. And, but the way that the ICU doctor had said that he has no idea how this was even possible that he survived this because the bullet bypassed the main artery there at the top of the heart, the big one, the one that kills everybody.
Like
right
by
there.
A millimeter or something.
Well, he said the only thing that I can describe that could have possibly happened is that the bullet entered, it hit the rib cage, the rib moved the artery, the bullet passed through and stuck to the back. He says, I had no idea how this guy was able to survive. But so really, this song has to do with the fact that there is a savior. He did experience it. He did live. And it was a miracle.
Yeah.
A complete miracle that he was alive. The doctors could not give an answer. But it was very, very, very difficult time to get through. It was awful. But he made it through. And so it is distorted because it was more of a celebration that this guy, not only is he singing again, but it's even stronger than it was before.
And you know what? I think it happened on this microphone right here. Did it not?
Oh, yeah, that Rode.
No, the MXL.
I don't know. Maybe.
No, I think this was the one maybe. That was in your studio. Anyway, yeah, irregardless, that's enough. And I mean, the lyrics in this song, he does reference him getting shot in this. I see heaven through the eyes of a bullet hole.
But yep.
Coins on my eyes, I paid the toll.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just part of it. What do you say we play it? We'll come back and talk about it another minute.
Sounds good.
Coming up, Lines in the Sky. My better half, Mary Fish, her and I haven't been in the studio together. We need to get in the fishbowl, so... First, let's check out I Drag an Eye from the limited edition album. This is Savior. Fish, Music City Metal with Brother Jamie McKavanaugh. We'll be right back.
is a cutting tool on my skin. This all is a means to an end. This ghost I am still bleeding.
Classic Jamie McCavanaugh guitar at the end there. You just have a style. When I hear it, I know it's you.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
This is, I've probably listened to this song 1,500 times. I'm not kidding. Yeah, I love that song. I'm glad you picked it. Go to sanctuarynational.com/merch. And you can get a hard copy. When you see the logo, go to Music City Metal's Instagram page and look at how many people have killer tattoos of the Raven logo.
People all around the world with that thing. It's like I've met tons and tons of people, like full back pieces of it. And
I have it on the back of my left leg. And when I have shorts on, people say something about it all the time. What is that, man? That's cool. All the time.
Yeah. A great logo. I've always loved it, but
just off the top of my head, so my son Jake has it, I have it, Jason Ward Williams has it, you do, Will Knight, the singer, Amanda,
yep. Her brother had it. He, unfortunately, he passed away.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
But yeah, he has a Raven tattoo as well.
talk about, let's get into the technical part of the music here for a minute. Like, yeah, how long, you know, the arrangement on that? Real epic sounding, very big.
Well, I mean,
what's your memories of that?
You know, it was intense. It so I guess I can say this because it really doesn't matter. It's never, unfortunately, going to be released. But the full length album was going to be called The Ocean of the Divine Inferno. It went through a series of, well, of course, personal stories, but also a bit of predictions of what was to come.
Elysium. And I have that song on my, I have the rough one on there. I have some
the
of those
which one?
Elysium. When I was loading them my podcast machine tonight, that was the one that came up. One of, you know, when I just punched in I Dragon Eye and I'm like, oh wow, I have that. That's unreleased.
Yeah. Well, you've been able to hear some of the stuff that's never been released and actually in many ways has never been finished. But it was intense. You know, I don't do anything and Will doesn't do anything halfway. We put every emotion. So in other words, we learned a big lesson, the first one with Wedding Party, and to legitimately record. Now I'm not saying like I've got a ton of albums underneath my belt, but I did learn some of the, what really matters. And if you go back and all the greats, you know, they had, no matter who you've mentioned, but any great songwriter or song, you go back to the time of what that person was going through, and if you don't feel that feeling through, no matter how painful, no matter how agonizing, no matter how terrible you feel afterwards, you have to feel those feelings, and it has to be recorded under those feelings, those circumstances, those visions in your head, there, because it's going to reflect to the listener. They're going to hear and have a glimpse of what you're feeling. And that's what I did learn. I learned it through, you know, all the other times, but one of the, one of the things we went with the Wedding Party album, we had great loss, actually. Will's brother killed himself. Yes. And there was a series where when he sang songs, he had a picture album where he would just flip through the pictures and he would just sing his heart out and, you know, he'd break down and then we'd have to, you know, start over and different things like that. But there's something huge about that. There's something very, very important. So learning that, we had to do every song in this way. That's why every song has just one of those heart-wrenching or good situations, and it's felt through. I was there in the ICU. Yeah. I didn't feel what he felt, but I was there on my side, and I had to create the music, the background for him to sing what he had to, you know, had to sing. And it was, everything came together just, you know, like fitting a glove. And, you know, it is true that, you know, there are certain people that just write so well together that it's unexplained, you know, and that just happened to be the two of us. And, but it was hard, man.
You know,
it was not easy.
No, there's, I mean, you listen to all your music and you can understand that. And, you know, maybe I'll toss on a Wedding Party song too, just to kind of bring balance to it all. But just to give people perspective a little bit on the intensity of the music. And one thing my mom, God rest her soul, love Trudy, miss Trudy so much. One place we did not cross over was our musical tastes. she could not stand 99.9% of the music. She did get into Van Hagar, Sammy Hagar version of Van Halen for a little bit.
Yeah.
We played Bon Jovi at her funeral a couple years ago. And the other one was Wedding Party and I Dragon Eye. And I remember a particular time her and I were listening to it together. And she just said that music is so intense. That was the same word. We've used that word several times tonight.
Yeah.
She's like, but there is so much to that music. Sometimes it overwhelms me, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
And that's what it did to a broad spectrum of people. Let's go back to Wedding Party and we'll just to kind of give a little perspective. You guys did one album, Anthems, came out in 98. I bought the first one out of the box the day we met.
Yeah.
July 3rd, 1998. Remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
You guys played a set. I went to Cornerstone 98 specifically to see Savior Machine, who you said this is a kind of a little bit of a reference to, a little tribute to, since Eric Clayton produced Anthems. And that album, I mean, it was right at a time when the goth scene was big, but go ahead and Google Amy Lee and Wedding Party and see what comes up. Right?
Yeah.
She was,
She
was in the, now you guys had, I mean, you guys kind of had that look. Sherry was the singer on the Wedding Party album, Will's wife at the time, wore a corset outside of her dress, was the first one to do that, was the first one, and Amy Lee kind of got cred for it from Evanescence.
The big mistake that Evanescence made was when they first released that one album of theirs, the debut there, that they played Nashville. Mm-hmm. And they played Nashville, meaning that there was a bunch of Wedding Party fans there. And then so people showed up because of the similarities. And
yeah, the guy, girl.
Yeah, let's just
two
say
singers.
That there was some very familiar sounds.
Yes, very familiar.
Very familiar sounds. Almost to a, what do you call a T?
Yeah.
But
I remember hearing that Evanescence the first time and going, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Will and Sherry, Anthems.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Bring me back to life.
That was interesting. It was an interesting time. And then we just, tragedy just struck that band. And it was overnight, like what they call an overnight success, like way, way too fast, way, way too early. Members of the band were not ready for it, and it just,
I know,
I mean, people, the bass player, he ended up killing himself, there's, you know,
I know,
intermarriages, yeah. It was a nightmare situation, but it was unfortunate,
and again,
but Will and I,
a lot to do with the enormity of the music and the message that was being sent through it.
Yeah, and we didn't realize that, well, one, Will and I, we always kind of knew that we had to do more music, even though that had ended, just because of what happened, you know, when we wrote the music together, no matter what it was, you know, it was, that album was hell on earth to record as well. But when we got to Eye, Dragon Eye, it was, just him and I, and we realized, wow, we got to keep doing this. We got to make this happen. And what's unfortunate is the music that did not get released and has not gotten released, the experiences that I had in the studio for those. I mean, you want to talk about intense feelings. There's one song that I did that when I got most of it done and I had put these bits and pieces together and put it together, I was actually frightened. And I actually mean, wow. Like, I was shooken up. Like, when I listened to it, I'm like, I'm freaked out right now. You know, like, I didn't understand what was going on. And then I told Will, it's like, Will, you got to come here. You got to come over. You got to listen to this. Come to the studio. And we did. And he, the hair on his back of his neck just stood on end. He's like, whoa, man. Whoa, man. I go, so I guess that's supposed to stay like that. You know, so, but there was, you know, each song is like that, but it talks about an intensity. I really wish we could have released it. I really do. Just because.
You never know. I mean.
Well, it predicted what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, it did.
Which
did.
Is what's
Elysium.
So weird.
That's what it makes me think, you know, Elysium specifically was one of.
Yeah, Elysium or the Anthem of the End.
Anthem of the End, yeah.
Anthem
I've
of the
heard
End
that one
was
too.
Like. Oof. Yeah. That stuff, it predicts what we're going through right now globally, and it's insane. But so I really do wish it was true. You know, I really do wish that was happened, but you know, things happen and you know, there's nothing you can do about it really, but
it's all right. Life happens. But what you did release is extremely memorable. I mean, great. And we got 30 hard copies left.
If we're in quarantine for a long time,
right.
I might just finish it. And
well,
and,
If I don't get Mary Margaret Fish on here, it's not going to happen because, boy, we could do this all night. I know we could.
Yeah.
If I don't get her on by 10 o'clock, that's it. Stem comes out, pumpkin. We'll have to record our segment tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Brother, I'm going to play ICU. When we come back, Mary Fish is going to be on, and we have a couple things she wants to share and talk to all the to metal chicks out there. A lot of metal girls in this town. A lot. Brother Jamie, is JJ over there still tickling his nipples?
Sure. That's all he ever does.
Are you allowed to say nipple? Is that explicit? Do I have to check the explicit box?
I think it is. I mean, you know, you might have to believe it, but I'm pretty sure that's a good word to use.
It's a fun word to say. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nipple. I've been wanting to do this. I've been thinking about it for a couple of weeks, and this was even better than I had hoped for. You articulate what's going on in truth so well. And a lot of truth mixed up in the music there. And if you're curious, hit us up privately. We'll spend some time with you. Absolutely. About what the message is. And coming up after this, Mary Fish is going to be in. Yeah, maybe we'll play an old wedding party song.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, I love you, buddy. This was great.
I love you too, man.
Going to be hard to cut. Jamie McCavanaugh, iDragonEye. Again, if you want one of the last 30 hard copy of the CDs, visit sanctuaryinternational.com/merch, and they are there. If you really, really are desperate to hear the album and can't buy it, we'll get you a digital copy. Hit me up on Instagram.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I
got them all.
Figure it out,
I have it all right on the Big Mac here next to me. But,
cool.
You know, if you got the money, go spend the money on the album. It's well worth it. Special stuff. And I know I'm glad that I ripped it. I ripped it, and I think actually it says copy one, copy two when I was searching for them. I made like two copies of the album backup, and the original I gave away to somebody. So I don't even have a hard copy myself. as the same thing that I did with the wedding party album, I gave it to Kirk.
Yeah.
It's cool though. I have it all. I have everything. So, but still, once in a while, it's nice to hold a tangible album in your hands.
Well, I grabbed one from the sleeve.
Did you? You got one?
I didn't have one.
Just touch it a little.
I mean, I've got all the digital. I mean, I've got all the studio wave files and stuff. But
stay tuned. Next segment, Mary Fish. I promise she'll be back. Right now, we're gonna go back to iDragonEye. This is ICU on Music City Metal. Music City Metal, I see you, I Dragon Eye. I don't know, this music gives me chills. It always has. And I'm sitting here doing that shoulder movement like the hair on your neck is standing up.
I thought you had ants in your pants. I wasn't sure what was happening.
No, it's just, it does it to me.
It's his thoughts and words in music are amazing. And pair
that together with Jamie's brain and the way he compiles music, puts it all together. The way they work together, special.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. Wow. Well, that's really weirdly, oddly appropriate for these times.
Yeah, it is. I've been thinking about this about doing this. We were just going to do two songs. And as the conversation kind of developed between Jamie and I, thanks so much, Brother Jamie. It was great. I decided to play another one. And we might even do a wedding party song here.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Just to kind of give it all perspective.
We should.
We talked a lot of it about the music that they did then. What are your first memories of us? Because, I mean, just to go back to 98, we did talk about earlier in the episode and how Jamie, wedding party, Pastor Bob, Sanctuary was very instrumental in us living here now. And what was that? That's weird.
That's wild, weird stuff.
Wild stuff.
Exactly. When you think about it, you know, it's so cliche that hindsight is 2020, but it's very clearly 2020 or 2010, whatever's better than 2020, because sometimes, I don't know, you just look back and go, wow, that's what that was for? That's where all this brought us?
I don't know.
I remember the trip driving down here from New York. We hadn't known each other long.
We were
talking to strangers, fresh. Apparently. I was like, yeah, let's go for a road trip. Sure, I don't really know you or your friend, but let's get in a car and drive. He drove fast. I remember that. That kid drove fast. That was frightening.
Yeah, no, it was a trip. He averaged between 95 and 100. I remember waking up. We were driving down from Kentucky. You and I had known each other. We were driving down from Buffalo to Nashville. We were in Kentucky.
Oh.
And I remember you were in the back seat. I was in the front seat. I was asleep. I woke up. I look over at the speedometer. I look around. I know we're in Kentucky based on the scenery. And it said like 101 miles an hour. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going back to sleep, because if we die, if he goes off the road, I want to be sleeping.
Indeed.
Oh, it made me nervous a little bit.
There were some other things on the trip that made me nervous too, but I do remember, excuse me, being in that studio, and that was my first experience. I don't want to say behind the scenes, you know, because obviously this was all an indie production at that time, but just the way it all kind of flowed and everyone, I can't describe what it was.
There was a connection right away in a weird way, right? With wedding party, do you remember where we were?
No, I remember in my head what it looked like, but I don't remember where we were.
We were at, I'm going to have to do research on his name. We were at the drummer's family studio, and a lot of stuff had been recorded there. It was in an old barn. And I really feel bad that I just can't remember it straight out of memory. But Chad was there. We didn't bring him up by name, but Jamie did mention Chad's death.
Oh.
There was a special connection there. And it happened right away. And gosh, I was maybe 7-8 months later we lived here.
That might have happened right away for you because you had already met all of them at Cornerstone and all of that.
Right.
I was still in this weird, I can't believe I just drove 900 miles with two strangers phase of
strangers,
you know,
for 6 months.
All my girlfriends asking me, what are you doing? No, we weren't. Was it? Anyway.
August. Well, when was it? October?
Of?
98.
September.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Well, we'd been together about a month.
Yeah. I don't know where you're coming up with 6 months, but it was not long. Yeah. And Kathy yelled at me. Wendy yelled at me.
So, what the hell are you doing? I guess you can understand it now. I'm 50 years old now.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, I do remember that being one of the biggest reasons deciding to come here. Just based on the welcome that everyone gave us. You know, obviously a lot of times there can be that weird north south line of demarcation.
Yeah, right.
But it wasn't really, because there was a lot of transplants here as well. Right. So.
Well, here we are 22 years later, Mary Fish.
Here we are, and not to make anybody else feel bad, but we are the last men standing.
That's right.
So.
So I'm going to turn the microphone over to you. I've been yapping with Jamie almost an hour. And since a shout out to Nashville March, .com, Evan Hensley, E.T. Brown. We know the calendar's flat right now, so there is no rock and roll forecast. Currently, that is bleak at the moment.
For live shows, if you go on Instagram, I have seen, because I am the ghost Instagrammer behind Music City Metal, there have been many musicians that are just sitting in their living room and picking up a guitar and singing and playing and connecting with their fans and still connecting with the community, even though it's not face-to-face. So, yes.
Yeah, that's been happening quite often. And, you know, that's amazing. It's fantastic that we have the technology to do this. We're sitting in a studio that was less than $2,000 in equipment here to put together. And for a few bucks a month, we can talk to the whole planet. So that is cool through all this. But one thing that worries me, and I guess we could say this is like a serious Music City Metal episode in a way, and there's no reason why we shouldn't be serious right now and bring music into the mix to touch your spirit is what my goal was tonight. And I got to say that I'm going to be straight up. People's spirits get touched through music. Mine, it's part of the reason why I'm still alive. I feel like I have been spoken to through music over the years. And this is a very personal thing between me and God. Whether you believe in a God or not, I don't care. But I still have my feelings on it and my personal relationship, and I'm still going to love you exactly the same. And if you want to hear about my experiences, fine. That's who I am. But people's spirits, nonetheless, whether you believe in a God or not, we are made up of mind, body, and spirit. Right now, all of our bodies are being attacked, and it's causing our mind to mess with our spirits. And I know some people that are in our inner circle that are affected, and a couple of things are going to happen here over the next few weeks from the time of this recording at the end of March. It's March 29th. 2020 and the date of this recording, but this is either going to bring out the best of people and some of humanity or the worst. And most of us have seen the best. There is little elements of the worst. People are just, and I'm not judging here. I had a bad experience with someone last week. I just got to say, I'm not going to say who it is, but it messed with my head a couple of days, and it was directly related to what's happening right now. It affected a friendship a little bit. I think we'll heal from it, but that was bringing out the worst in somebody. So you have a piece of paper in front of you, Mary Fish. I say all that to say this,
mm-hmm.
that you, I love listening to your voice, and I'm done talking.
Finally.
So what did you pick out? Did you pick out something to inspire our audience tonight?
Yes, I did. Since I don't have anything to read, I usually come in here with iPad or piece of paper in hand. I needed to have my physical prop in order to feel comfortable in the studio. So I, while you were talking to Jamie, was sitting in my office cleaning out a box from 2008 because I'm a weirdo and I keep all of our taxes for way, way too 12, long.
12 years, Mary Fish? 12?
I'm sorry to all the people who helped us move and you had to carry those boxes, but I'm currently creating a burn pile.
12 years.
I know. I'm sorry.
One more that would make a baker's dozen.
It would. Please don't pound your chest. But I did find this just little paragraph on attitude that I used to hang on my desk. And it just was funny that I found this tonight and I thought maybe I could share. So, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skills. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And that's from Charles Swindoll.
No, that was cool.
And I think for me, a lot of how maybe over the past several years that I've gotten through the valleys that I've gone through, either personally or together as a family and a couple, is attitude, right? I can choose to respond or react to a situation.
Yeah.
You know, that's huge. One of my bosses, Gina, told me that. Gina won't listen to this, so that's okay. Gina told me that one time. You can either respond or you can react.
Amen.
So
I've done both poorly. I've done both very well.
Oh, likewise. Yeah. So I just thought that was important because a lot of, you know, gosh, we're inundated with all this news and information and over information. And how much can your brain actually, how much can you really process? You know, but if it just comes down to your attitude, right? The kindness that you show to someone, you know, while you're out, if you do have to go to the store, the kindness that you show to your neighbor.
Despite your own suffering. Despite your own, whatever you're going through at that moment, I'd like to add that. Sorry, my heart burst my mouth open.
It does that from time to time, I know.
But that's important. Even though you're in the midst of going through something horrible, some people are broke, some people are hungry, some people have no positive outlook to their lives at the moment. And, we're here to try and inspire that through music and experiences, which I think we did really well tonight with Jamie and what you just shared. But I had to say that being kind, being selfless, despite you going through suffering at your own moment.
Well, yeah, whatever. I mean, you should just do it all the time, generally speaking. But I think it really takes a strong person from the inside out to be able to be kind to someone when you're in the midst of your own crap.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else to say besides that. Do you have more?
No, we'll end on that. Let's play a wedding party song.
My stomach's growling.
Oh, I'm starving. I fed you earlier.
That was 5:30.
Oh, my God.
It's 10:30 now.
It is. So Jamie, let's play a wedding party song.
Let's play a wedding party
I'd
song.
I'd like to hear Will again.
Raven's Warning. We gotta go as heavy as Anthem's got.
Let's do
and
it.
And I would say Raven's Warning would be it. Music City, Metal Fish, and my better half, Mary, thank you for those beautiful words. And you know what? I'm really glad you're sitting 4 feet away. Well, right now we're 6 feet away.
No, we're 6 feet. Better be 10 feet.
We're 6 feet away in the electric fishbowl, but I'm glad you're only 6 feet away, Mary Fish.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I would say this is going to wrap up a great episode, different from Music City Metal. And I know I have a big audience of musicians out there, and those of you that are struggling to get through the family of a band, struggling to have hope for the future, whether or not you're going to get this next album done, I hope and pray that tonight inspired you a little bit, hearing some old stuff. Tonight we're going to go back 22 years. This album was released July 3rd, 1998. A lot of these kids were pooping their pants when this album came out. Mm-hmm. But guess what? It'll make you feel good.
It will. Yeah. Press play.
All right, here it is. Wedding Party. This is Raven's Warning in Music City Metal. Music City Metal, Raven's Warning right there. Raven's Warning by Wedding Party. Mary Fish, I don't think I can talk anymore.
Wow.
This was pretty intense, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about heavy stuff. I've said intense maybe 12 times tonight.
Oh.
But it is. I don't know how else to say it, but it was Jamie really, I think, did a great job. I know you haven't heard it yet.
Jamie can be really intense just in general.
Yes.
He has such a heart for people and can be a little, not in a mean way, but he can just be, he can be heavy. He carries a lot of, kind of like we were talking about earlier with.
He's very prophetic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not a light thing to carry.
Not at all.
And I mean, even in the music, he talked about that. I said I was done talking.
That's fine. I enjoy that whole entire album. I've listened to it many, many of times. So why don't we do one more?
Let's do one more.
Just one more.
All right. Yeah. Let's do one more.
Yeah. Let's
one
do
one more from Anthems.
Yes.
Go. Pick.
You pick. I'll pick.
You pick.
War Memorial.
War Memorial.
War Have Memorial. To. That's All a right. tongue. That's a difficult radio word, radio phrase. Yeah. War Memorial.
That's it. Flatlined.
War Memorial.
War Memorial.
Yes, definitely. It's another good heavy one from that album.
With the prelude. We'll do it with the prelude.
Please. Yes. Thank you.
With the prelude.
With the prelude. Rock and roll, Fish. Push play.
Push play. Hey, you want to make the world a better place? Now more than ever, commit a random act of kindness to a complete stranger. Here's War Memorial. By Wedding Party.
We are metal. We are family.
Awakening from a lingering